Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome to the program. It is Tuesday. Hard to believe it's only Tuesday. We have had so much going on, and we really look forward to spending the next couple of hours with you and look forward to hearing from you as well. A lot happening. More bad news from around the SEC. COVID, Florida reporting double-digit positive tests today as we continue on, and we hope those numbers ultimately will change. So far, they don't seem to be. We'll talk a little bit about one program that had a hard time getting off the ground, and that's Kansas State in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk to a reporter who delved pretty deep into the program that has already shut down. They'll come back hopefully in a couple of days after they regroup, but it has been a really weird couple of weeks, and we'll talk to a number of people about that. We look forward to hearing from you, and you can get in now at 855-242-7285. And we'll also talk to the mayor of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He is Walt Maddox, and he said that it would be cataclysmic if Alabama football did not get off the ground this fall. Of course, I think you could probably repeat that in places all across the country. It is that important, and we're going to talk about it. What about Kylan Hill? That's a story we touched on yesterday before we got off the ground and before we got off the show. He is the one of the best running backs in the country, the lead player for Mike Leach, and he tweeted yesterday that he will not play this year if Mississippi does not take down the flag, which bears the Confederate stars and bars on it. And this is a story that's been going on for a couple of days. Already we've seen the commissioner of the SEC as well as the head of the NCAA say they will not take either conference or national championships to that state until the flag has come down. The governor, Tate Reeves, has offered an alternative, but apparently the player in question, Kylan Hill, is not going along with that. I remember we had the governor on a couple weeks ago, one of four governors, all Republican, by the way, that we have had on this program in recent weeks. I was on First Take earlier today with Stephen A. Smith. Both Stephen A. And Max Kellerman just savaged the state of Mississippi in relation to their refusal to take away or take down the flag. Remember, we talked to Bakari Sellers about that the other day as well. We really want to hear from you because everyone's talking about what people in Mississippi should not be doing. I'd like to hear from people in Mississippi talk about it. I think that's the most important thing you can do. So we will hear from you. And, again, if you want to get in, I recommend getting in, calling now, 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-7285. It's always interesting when people around the country try to legislate what you should or shouldn't do. Mississippi, I believe, is the only state that still is in this position. And what's troubling to me is that living in my life in the South and knowing the struggle that the stigma racism that has existed and the hard work that many people have done to try to overcome that, a lot of it seems to be going down the drain right now, especially with the way the national media portrays it. It was interesting. Stephen A. Told a story. This wasn't a story in the 60s or 70s. He told a story that occurred 6 years ago, he said. He had a speech in Memphis, was down I can't remember what circuit. He was either in Memphis and had to get to New Orleans, and there was no other way to go but drive. And he said he was genuinely concerned driving through the state of Mississippi, especially when he went into a convenience store. I was surprised by the story, but I'm not going to tell someone else what they should or shouldn't experience. That's what he experienced. Also, nothing from NASCAR or the Justice Department on the investigation into Bubba Wallace. It's almost been 2 days now, nearly 48 hours since that race was rained out, and probably about 40 hours, maybe a little bit less than that, since the announcement came down of the news in the garage, and we don't know anything yet. It seems like we should be hearing something by now, but we are not. Anyway, number of guests today as well. Love to hear from you, and this is a good time to get in. We'd love to get, especially Mississippians, your reaction to what is being said about your state around the country. We start with Seth in Jackson, Mississippi.
Hey, Paul, what's going on?
Hey, great to have you on.
Thanks, man. I kind of want to let the country know, you know, as a Mississippian going on, you know, touching 30 now, this has been an issue going all the way back to, you know, the early 2000s. You know, it's been in the legislature many times. I think it was, you know, turned down, shot down the last time they voted on it. But coming from a guy who, you know, has some pretty strong Southern heritage with having a great-great-grandfather who fought for the Confederacy and actually died at the Battle of Lookout Mountain with the Mississippi 51st Regiment. I think it's time for a change. You know, I work with primarily African Americans, and, you know, we're all people. You know, God teaches us to love each other, and I feel like we need to honor that. But it's definitely time for a change.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'd like to hear. I think that's an interesting way to begin the show. KC is in Birmingham.
Hey, Paul, I wasn't going to mention this, but you brought up about the flag. But I'm thinking, you know, maybe they need a change. But I'm thinking, I live here in Alabama. People of Mississippi should decide. People like Stephen A. and everybody else ought to stay out of their damn business. People in Mississippi could give a rat's a what they do in New York, what flag they fly, and they ought to stay out of Mississippi's business. Let Mississippi people decide on Mississippi flags. And I don't think
I could just add, I don't want to argue, but I need to just add one thing to that.
Sure.
This isn't a battle between Stephen A. Smith and the state of Mississippi. The commissioner of the Southeastern Conference started this on Thursday night.
He was out of his lane.
So that's why this is an issue. And then one of the someone who was born in Mississippi and plays football in Mississippi, Kylan Hill, turned it into a bigger story yesterday. So I mean, at sports Paul networks just don't go looking to pick on Mississippi.
No, I'm not. But can't they say no to some of these athletes' demands? I mean, like, you know, it used to be. Now these guys are like becoming like big babies. They've got to get a yes every time they have a problem. I just don't know where it's a slippery slope. It seems like to me, if you start giving in to every demand, where do you stop?
Well, I mean, it's not like Kylan Hill is asking for a private jet and a penthouse apartment. All he's doing is saying, "I think the state should take the flag down, or I'm not going to play." I mean, he's not. It's really that simple.
Well, are they going to leave it up to him to design the new flag? I mean, has he got to sign off on this thing?
No, I don't think he wants to sign off on it. I just think the state of Mississippi could probably come up with a flag that does not herald the Confederacy. I think it's pretty simple, really. Every other state in the Union has figured it out.
It's about the NASCAR thing. Like you said, about 40 hours. You're right, about 40 hours. That's what I was thinking. And no picture of the noose. Nobody has been arrested. And NASCAR is usually on top of anybody that gets in that garage with this high-tech, you can't touch the car and you can't do this and you can't do that. Don't you find that a little bit strange?
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. Casey, I mean, something. I mean, I'm not trying to manage the investigation, but something's not right.
But if it comes out that this is a made-up story, or all the people that have mainstream media that has jumped on this and jumped, are they going to backpedal and issue any apologies?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't either. Last 2 days you've gone, and I've only been to two or three NASCAR races in my life. I watch it, but I've only been to two or three at Talladega. First one was in 78, and it was crazy in the infields the last two times I sat in the stands. But you've gone napalm on NASCAR the last 2 days, but you've been on the air a long time. I've never heard you really call out NASCAR to all this kind of unfolded. Why is that?
Yes, I have. I happen to dig up an article I wrote in 1998 that's in a collection of my articles in a book. I won't bore you by reading it, but I called out NASCAR for being racist in that article, and I talked about it in the ensuing days. I really don't cover NASCAR anymore, so I quit talking about it. But I appreciate you bringing that out, and I think it's a question I would ask a lot of people who are outraged right now. But there are very few times that I'm going to come back at you with "Hey, I did it then." But my record on NASCAR and racism is pretty solid. But I appreciate your call. Hey, we're up against a break. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and really glad you are here on a Tuesday afternoon. We have a lot to do, and we're going to talk to a number of people. COVID reports continue to rise around the country, and you know, it really is somewhat, it's not difficult to explain. It's maybe easy to explain considering how many young players are not only around other people, but they're going out. And one of the most interesting cases has been Kansas State, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, about how they they completely shut down their entire operation. Let's grab some calls before we do that, and Ralph is in New York. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, how you doing, Paul? Great show.
Big-time
fan. Yeah, Paul, I want to talk a little bit about the whole episode with Mike Gundy, and then I want to hear your thoughts afterwards. I don't think that there's been fair coverage and about the whole incident. Let me explain. Right away, everyone took it for face value what Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State said he had heard on or seen online, if you will. And the truth of the matter is OAN is it's a right-wing station, as has been mentioned, but the woman who is the anchor, Liz Wheeler, is a very upright, religious, good person. And when she was talking about what she was saying, she did not say that black lives do not matter, that the black population of the country isn't worth anything. She was talking about the way that the movement Black Lives Matter goes about doing things and disagreeing with some of their methods. And this has been taken, I believe what I'm basically trying to say is what's gone on is I think it was taken out of context. That's number one. And therefore, the fact that, Mike Gundy wore an OAN t-shirt, I don't believe that there's anything really. It's not like he was wearing a shirt just because there's a big difference between someone saying that the black lives of our country do not matter as opposed if someone is against has a different point of view of an organization, that does not make them a racist. And I think Chuba Hubbard overreacted, and there was actually an edited version of what Liz Wheeler said that made it sound as if she was saying black lives don't matter. That's not what she was saying. She was talking specifically about the organization. And that being said, I think this whole thing got blown out of proportion. And I think also the young man went about it the wrong way. I think he should have first ascertained what was actually said. And from the also, I'd like to just say, I've seen from other sportscasters, it's not like anyone looked up, or it would just take a minute to go online and see what Liz Wheeler actually said. And I took the time to look, and she did not believe me. She did not say anything against, you know, our black population in this country. So I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, I did go back and look at it, and you're right. Some of the remarks were edited. I think what she was trying to say, and we can no reason to quibble about this, but I think she tried to say that she wasn't calling Black Lives Matter organization a farce. She was calling the movement a farce. And, you know, it is interesting though, Ralph, that Mike Gundy spent a lot of time 2 days later explaining how wrong he was about Black Lives Matter, about OAN and all that. I mean, in a sense, you're right. The T-shirt itself was blown. Too many, I think a lot of talk show hosts and people in social media tried to claim that those who were after Gundy were doing it because of a T-shirt. That was really not the case. I mean, I felt the wrath of a lot of people, but that's okay. I mean, people can say whatever they want about me. That's great. Trell is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Trell.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I appreciate what you said on First Take this morning. I think you were 100% correct with your statement and about our issue here. And also, I stand with Colin Hill on his statement. And I remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, some friends that I knew, they refused to play for Mississippi State or Ole Miss because of the state flag, and also especially for Ole Miss because of the mascot they had at the time and also their school song. And they went outside the state and got scholarship and played there. And I think if they go back to that, they will have to do something about the state flag.
Yeah, you know what's disappointing to me, though? I mean, here is a university state that – they did hire Sylvester Croom in 2003, and it took a lot of guts to do that. But, you know, I think that conversation on First Take really got a little bit out of hand. I don't know what you thought. I found Stephen A. could read the New York phone book and make it entertaining, but his drive from Memphis to New Orleans through Mississippi was quite a rollicking ride, you would have to admit. But there was a lot of truth in what he said. You know that better than I do.
Right. There's a lot of truth in it. And I understand Stephen A.'s viewpoint. He's an entertainer first, I think, in my opinion. And he's going to, express himself in a way that he know how. Now, I don't agree with everything that he said, but something I can agree with just by growing up in the state. But bottom line is this. We should have a state flag that represent every Mississippian.
Absolutely.
Instead of some Mississippi. And that's how
my argument was, I don't want to see Colin Hill not play football. Of course not. But I suggested was, let's not spend all our time talking about the past in Mississippi. You and I both know it's a considerably better place than it's ever been. But as long as that flag is flying, it is going to open the state for criticism. And by the way, it wasn't worth it today. I know the governor there a little bit, and he's a smart guy. Just take the stupid flag down. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. And I appreciate your thoughts on it, Paul. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Really nice of you to call. We are continuing with more calls, and Dan is in North Carolina. Hello, Dan.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
We have – we have these monuments, we have these flags, we have these things, and people say, we take these down, we erase history. History exists regardless of what we do for these monuments and flags. It's what we honor in history that is what is important, and what is offensive about these things that we are choosing to honor. The Confederate flag, to me, you can say it means the Confederacy, the slavery, you could say that. To me, as in my lifetime, it means white opposition to integration is what it means to me. Does it mean different things to different people? Sure. But, I'm just telling you what it means to me and what it means to different people. And taking those things away does not mean that history is gone. It means that we are choosing not to honor those things. Those things are not honorable. We should not have monuments. We should not have people flying flags, in the state of Mississippi or wherever, NASCAR tracks, where they are honoring, what to me is white opposition to integration. What to other people is, the history of slavery. I've heard other people. I've lived in North Carolina for a long time, and people saying what it means to them, it's a Southern heritage, it's all these things. Well, all those things to me mean you don't respect black people. You want to put black people in their place. And it is it's offensive to me. And I would be happy if I never saw any of those symbols again.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I've heard both sides of it, when I lived in Alabama. And you try to be sympathetic, because you don't want to, disparage somebody, because, their family, fought for what they believe in. I mean, that's the history of the world, okay? I may not believe in it, and you may not believe in it, but that's what they believed in. And I've always heard them, Southerners, try to say that they're honoring their whatever. But, there comes a point when you just have to go. You have to move on. There's nobody alive that was in the Civil War. I'm sorry if your family got wiped out at Vicksburg or Shiloh or Antietam. I mean, but, I'm. My family's been wiped out too, but it's time to move on with our lives, and let's quit hurting the people that are trying to make something out of their lives. Hey, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. We're up against a break. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And we welcome you back here Tuesday afternoon. Great to have all of you with us, and also really nice to welcome Max Olson to the program from The Athletic. There's so much going on right now, especially with players and COVID. Max did a deep dive into one program that thought they had some of the answers and found out they're in the same boat as everyone else, and then they reacted to it. Max, thanks for the time. Great to have you on.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul.
So a million places to go, but let's start with Kansas State. Really intrigued by your story. Here's a school that really rarely pops up on the radar screen. It's fairly quiet. Suddenly they shut things down for a while. Take us through the story.
Yeah. So, Kansas State, everyone I talked to, felt that Kansas State had a good plan, good thorough plan for getting, their football team back to campus safely and back into football workouts. And, they brought in a group of more than 90 players, initially, mostly their veteran players, tested all of them and they had zero, positive tests for COVID-19. And then they brought in a smaller group of players, more of their, freshmen and transfers. And some of those guys basically got tested on a Friday and didn't get the results back until Monday. And over that weekend, they were out with a large group of players, added a few parties around town. And, a lake party and a house party, nothing too crazy. But they get back on Monday, and two of the players find out that they've tested positive. They were asymptomatic, so they had no idea that something was wrong or that they had it or anything. And, of course, because of that, it spread through the team. And you had a few more players test positive, and then through contact tracing they figure out they need to test more than 50 players on the team again, and got six or seven positives out of that, and felt that once they got to 14 and going from 0 to 14 in really a matter of a few days, they needed to shut things down and really reset here for 2 weeks and try to get back to zero.
Max, interestingly, was anyone else affected other than just the players?
No. At least as far as we know, no staffers are affected, anything like that. Now, they are going to, Gene Taylor, the AD, told me that they are going to retest their coaches and staff who've been around those players this week. But that's certainly part of the issue. And look, they're not just doing this out of concern for their football team and their football season, but they've also seen a spike in positive tests in the county that they're in, and it's a small community, Manhattan, Kansas. So they have to be concerned about, are they sending players out into the public who would spread this?
Yeah. Again, we're still in the early days of return to workouts. These are all voluntary workouts. And I'm just interested, as you reported this story and talked to people, does it give you a sense at all of where we are other than the numbers keep going up?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think what you saw with LSU and Clemson and K-State, some of these programs, when you see the headlines last week about the number of positive tests they have, you see a lot of people sort of reflexively kind of freak out and say, well, there's no way there's going to be a season. But, to me, in talking to folks for this story and around the country, I think the sense is, look, they expected positives. Now, they didn't expect positives in the way that Kansas State got them, or in some of the ways that maybe LSU dealt with them. But part of this process is trial and error, unfortunately. And you have to learn how to establish and improve your protocols as you go through this. You know, when a player tests positive, he needs to isolate. How long do they need to do that before they recover? You know, when you do contact tracing after that and have players quarantine for a while, you know, how long do you have to do that? And so I think part of this process is, you know, the folks at K-State didn't freak out. I mean, they understood they needed to shut things down and reevaluate their protocols. But honestly, Paul, like, we know there's not going to be a vaccine here in the next few weeks. So you have to learn how to manage this stuff and figure out, you know, how is this going to work in September?
Yeah, and Anthony Fauci said today that it's possible we could see a vaccine by the end of the year. That's not going to help college football, though. Maybe baseball. As you watch this unfold, Max, and we're all trying to figure it out, what do you hear? You know, you certainly talked to a lot of different people. Is there a growing skepticism, or is this something that you work through and hope to rectify by the time camp opens here in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, especially in the case of, like, Kansas State, it's like, look, this is a setback, and you can't have too many more stoppages if you're going to try to prepare to be ready to play a season, obviously. But, you know, certainly, like, some of the pessimism and skepticism that's come up in the past few days, like, I get it. It's warranted in some ways because, remember, we're we're going through this trial run here with no other students on campus. So, you know, this is sort of like the safe bubble attempt at this to try and get this right. And there's still going to be, you know, mistakes made with this process. But, man, it's hard to say because there's just so much that's going to have to improve, including just even in testing. You know, I mean, I think there needs to be cheaper testing, more access to testing with more accurate results. I mean, that's less invasive. Like, there's still a lot that has to continue to kind of evolve here in the next few months for everyone to feel like this season can go on in a way that you feel like is similar enough to what we're used to.
It seems pretty obvious, Max, that there is a deep resolve to get to the college football season. I understand that, and why wouldn't you understand it? But have you heard any of the contingency plans floating around? I mean, they seem to be everywhere, but nobody is obviously showing them to people like you and me. But if it doesn't go perfectly, what happens then?
Yeah, that I honestly, I think we both wish that we had some firm answers on that stuff. And I think a lot of people are sort of waiting to hear, you know, what guidelines are these conferences going to establish, especially the Power Five leagues. From talking to ADs and folks at schools, they're wondering what their league's going to tell them in terms of what the standards are and what the backup plans are. And, you know, look, you got it. Those need to be pretty clearly established because we saw how chaotic it was in March when suddenly the Rudy Gobert deal happens and all these conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament and all the spring events all sort of get canceled in one day, right? So you have to have some plans in place so that, you know, with as much information as we've gathered here, I know it's hard to make those decisions today, but yeah, I think we're all looking forward to hearing what these leagues have to say about. And additionally, like, you really hope that they're collaborating with each other and getting on the same page with these things, because I think that would be one of the more, you know, chaotic outcomes of all this, is if leagues are all kind of following different plans.
In when you talk to people, 3 weeks ago, everyone seemed really confident, and the story we're talking about with you is clearly one of the most negative. Do you feel the K-State story, the Clemson, LSU, Florida confirmed today that they're in double digits? Other schools are, you and I both know, are in double digits, but they're not not announcing it. Does this portend anything, or is it just is it still late June and decisions like this really don't need to be made for a few weeks?
Well, honestly, Paul, I think that's part of it. Like, I think it's interesting that the schools like LSU and Clemson and K-State that are transparent about this stuff and come out and say, here's exactly what we're dealing with, kind of get, like, the most negative attention for this stuff. Because as you and I both know, there's so many programs that are refusing to disclose what they're dealing with right now. And whether it's better or worse, we just don't know. And so you hope they're sharing that information with each other, and you hope that these leagues have a good sense of what they're dealing with right now, because that's I think that's hard for any of us to sort of report on this and to know what direction this is heading. Is you've still got a lot of schools who feel that it's their right by citing HIPAA or whatever else that they can't disclose what they're dealing with. And I think that information is really important right now for everybody to have a good sense of just the severity of this and what things need to change and if this return to campus plan is actually working so far.
Max Olson, great piece in The Athletic. Max, one of these days we'll talk football, hopefully soon. Thank you very much for coming on.
Hey, sounds great. Thank you.
You bet. Great to have you on. We'll continue more phone calls and reaction to all of this after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We welcome you back. Continuing on, and let's check out Kevin in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
It's great. Thank you.
Okay, I was just calling to say I do support the movement to change the flag because I've been in Mississippi my whole life. I'm 44 years old. I drive trucks, but I think the main thing it needs to be moved is, you know, basically because of the racist bias and mainly because of economic value. A lot of people, even before these protests happened, won't bring a job to states like Mississippi and Arkansas, you know, like the high-paying jobs or the main companies won't come because of the issues with the flags. And I think it needs to be moved because now I'm not going to knock anybody's heritage and say what they feel like their grandparents did in the Civil War, their great-grandparents. But maybe some of these people ought to think about their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren because if there are no jobs here, what are their grandchildren and great-grandchildren going to do? And I mainly think, you know, it needs to be moved, like I say, because of economic value. And as far as the sports go, with some of these players sitting out, if you look at it, even black, not only black players, but even some of the white players won't come to Ole Miss or Mississippi State because of what the flag represents and what their culture represents. We have a lot of five-star players and four-star players who will go out and go to another school to get a scholarship and sit 2 or 3 years to play when they could be a starter in Mississippi and Ole Miss, but they won't do it because of their culture. And that's all I have on that, Paul. Thank you for
that. That is a great point. Hey, thank you, Kevin. Really appreciate that. Let's talk to Dustin next, who is in Mississippi. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
That's great. Thank you.
I don't know, man. I mean, I get where Kevin's coming from. I really do agree with him. But, I mean, it also is a part of history, and a lot of people don't see it as racism. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I get that. You know, it had to do with slavery and everything, but that's not what the whole Civil War was about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm to the point now where I'm going to leave the Civil War to the historians. Doesn't really matter to me anymore. I know that sounds cavalier, but it didn't really affect me. So I'm moving on.
Right. And I hate to see the guys from Mississippi State sitting out. You know what I mean? I want them to get a chance and everything, but I completely understand where they're coming from. But I think everybody just needs to learn how to get along, man, regardless. No matter how bad, good, or indifferent our history was, everybody's just – we all got to live here, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. But let me ask you this. If that – I mean, Mississippi – I grew up 12 miles from the border, so I'm fairly familiar with the state – if you put something else on that flag and prospered from it, what would be the damage?
No damage. I mean, I don't see any damage because of it. It's just, I mean, a lot of people, I guess, growing up with it and everything, it just means more to you. It's almost like you're taking Mississippi away from. I mean, I know it's just a flag, but it's just like you're taking the history out of Mississippi, kind of, I guess. But, I mean, I do agree with what Kevin said because, I mean, you know, there's no opportunity here. You know, anything to help change, to gain more opportunity.
Well, the thing that bothers me, and I related the story, I'm on a show today that's seen by a lot of people with Stephen A. and Max Kellerman, and, you know, they are both ripping into the state. I want to say, guys, have you ever been to the state? Stephen A. then tells a story about his one encounter. And my point being, a lot of damage is done when people do what they did. And if this flag was, you know, had a magnolia, I don't know, whatever Mississippi represents, the state wouldn't have been hit that hard. And that to me is the issue. At some point, you just simply have to determine it's not worth it any longer. Hey, thanks for the call. David is up next. Hey, David.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. How are you today?
I am doing great. Thank you.
I am a long-time listener, and first time I've talked to some of the guys that filled in for you, but I've never had an opportunity to talk to you, so I'm honored.
Well, I am really happy we made this happen.
I want to preface what I'm going to say by every essay that I wrote when I was in high school. Anytime I had to write essays or stories, I wrote about Martin Luther King, Jr. My favorite day of the year of your show is Martin Luther King's birthday, when we always get to hear what I call the call.
Right. No, thank you for saying that.
That you replay. But you made a statement earlier. You said to a caller that no one alive today fought in the Civil War, right?
Correct.
No one alive today owns slaves either.
That is also correct.
You know, the fact is that we are all, that there is no black man, no Hispanic man, no red man. We're all the same. We're all created equally in the image of God. And I'm blood type A positive. You could take my blood and give it to a black man that's A positive and sustain his life. You could take a Hispanic man who's A positive, give it to me, and sustain my life if need be. And I really believe we cannot change history going forward by rewriting history that's already happened.
You know, David, let me say this. I don't want to lose your thought because we're unfortunately at the end of the hour. Really glad we were able to talk. I think you made a very poignant point here, and I hope we can continue this with a little more time in the future. Hey, thank you very, very much. We're up against a break. You want to give us a ring? It's 855-242-7285, and we're back with three more hours to go.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.